So, a great scholar and a sage saint left this world. Many of us, especially the elders sitting here, probably saw him. And many of the youngsters probably all know him as well. Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi. But do we have another Maulana Zakariya amidst us? We don't. We have sources of knowledge, but we don't have the ulama that existed. I am not saying there is no alim left, although there will come a time when there will be no alim left, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِلُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتَزَاءً يَنْتَزِهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِلُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. Allah removes knowledge not by taking knowledge away, but by taking ulama away. Those who leave, do not leave behind their replacements until there will come a time there will not be a single alim left. People will make the ignorant their leaders and ask them, because they are jahils and misled themselves, they will in turn mislead the masses. These are signs of Qiyamah. Yaksurul jahal. Ignorance will increase, knowledge will decrease. So we pray to Allah every day. All decent Muslims, practicing Muslims, are required to pray minimum 32 rakats a day. 17 rakats faraz, 3 rakats witr wajib, 12 rakats sunnat muakkada. 17 and 3 is 20 plus 12 is? You went to school? 17 plus 3 plus 12 is? 32. 32 rakats normally people pray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Muru awladakum bis salati hum abna'u sab'in, wadribuhum alayha wa hum abna'u ashrin. When your children reach the age of 7, command them to pray. By the time they reach 10, then sort them out. Discipline them. Make sure by the age of 10 they are praying properly, responsibly. Most people live till the age of about 60. So if they started praying at 10 up to the age of 60, how many years is that? 50 years. And if they pray only for us, witr, sunnat muakkada, they would pray 32 rakats a day, multiply that by 365, 11,800 rakats a year. In 10 years, 118,000, over a period of 50 years, almost 600,000 rakats they would have prayed. And if you add any nafils and others on top, mashallah, noorun ala noor. So in every rakat of every salat, we pray to Allah, Ya Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the right path. When you pray on your own, you pray Fatiha. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a prominent sahabi, was mufti of Medina for almost 70 years. Imam Shamsuddin Dhahabi rahmahullah has written a kitab. He is one of the severe critics in terms of Rijal, ulama know how severe a critic he was. And his work is fundamental in the classification of hadith. He's written a book called Tazkiratul Huffaz, in which he's listed all the great muhaddisun from the time of Sahaba till his time in the 8th century. And when he comes to the section on Sahaba, he's mentioned Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu as a mufti of Medina for almost 70 years. In Muwatta Imam Malik, which is a book of hadith about which Imam Shafi rahmahullah said, Asahhu al-kutubi ba'da kitab illa Muwatta. Long before even Imam Bukhari was born, Imam Shafi rahmahullah, he said, this is the most authentic book after the book of Allah. In Muwatta Imam Malik has brought a narration from Jabir bin Abdullah, his fatwa, the chief mufti of Medina, in whose presence there were many top sahaba as well. But when he gave this fatwa, no one challenged him. And he says, Man salla rakatan wa lam yusalli fiha bi ummi al-Quran. Whosoever prays a single rakat, and he doesn't recite Fatiha. فَلَمْ يُسَلِّمْ, he hasn't prayed, إِلَّا وَرَاءَ الْإِمَامِ, except behind the Imam. He himself did not used to pray behind the Imam. Abdullah bin Umar did not recite anything behind the Imam. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu did not used to recite anything behind the Imam either. And this is reported in Sahih Muslim. مَا كَانَ يَقْرَأُ فِي شَيْءٍ. Many people think if you don't recite Fatiha behind the Imam, I am not saying those who do should stop, and that's a different issue, but they should not say that those who don't recite Fatiha behind the Imam, their prayer is not valid. This is not true. If that was the case, then Jabir bin Abdullah, the chief mufti of Medina, student of Rasulullah, then even his prayer wasn't valid. And if his prayer is not valid, then how is your prayer valid? There are differences in the Ummah. They've existed. We accept and acknowledge them all. We Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say that whatever differences existed amongst the Sahaba, they were all valid. So if you say any of the differences what existed between Sahaba, any of them, they are wrong, then be careful what you are saying. These are germs from Shiaism. The Sahaba were wrong. If Sahaba were wrong, that means Rasulullah didn't do a good job. If your child doesn't, prayer is the most important thing in deen. If your child has been coming to Qari Sahib for 10 years and then he doesn't even know how to pray properly, then you will have a right to come and say, Qari Sahib, what have you done? My son's been coming to you for 10 years. You haven't even taught him to pray. Kyun Maulana? You think he'll be justified? Every right he will have to say. If a Sahabi of Rasulullah, he doesn't know how to pray, then people will say, what job did Rasulullah do? He didn't even teach his companions how to pray properly, na'udzubillah. So Rasulullah would be considered a failure, na'udzubillah. So be careful what you say. People have differences, there are fundamental differences. Then there are other differences, which we call them furu'i masail, to do with ijtihad. We accept them all. We are Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, we are Hanfi. Alhamdulillah, we are Deobandi. And don't be ashamed of being a Deobandi. Why? Because ulama Deoband wa ulama of Haqq. They were ulama of Haqq. They were ulama of Ahlus Sunnah. And they were grand ulama of their times. And people have the nerve and the audacity. They pick up one or two hadiths and they say, oh, look at this. Sahih Bukhari. They carry Bukhari under their armpits. And they say, oh, Bukhari. Alhamdulillah. Even Imam Bukhari, he was supported when all others abandoned him. The Hanafi supported him. And most of Imam Bukhari's teachers were students of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmahullah. So people say, oh, wa sahaba Hanafis, Malikis, Shafi'is. Well, wa sahaba Salafis. Was Abdullah bin Umar Salafi? Was Abdullah bin Abbas? Abdullah bin Zubair? Hazrat Umar? And I often say, Salafis got a lot of problem with Hazrat Umar. Just as Shias have a problem with Hazrat Umar, so have the Salafis got problems with Hazrat Umar. Every Ramadan comes and the differences come up. Hazrat Umar established 20 rakat Tarawiyah, our Salafi brothers, they said, no bidat of Umar. If Umar was a bidati, where did you get sunnat from? Who told you what is sunnat? When Rasulullah was praying in Masjid al-Nabawi in the Ramadan that he prayed, was Al-Bani behind him? Bin Baz behind him? Ibn Taymiyyah behind him? Who was behind him? Hazrat Umar was behind him in the front saf. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was behind him in the front saf. Abdullah bin Masood was behind him in the front saf. Ubay ibn Ka'b was behind him in the front saf. So when they all prayed 20, did they just pray trivially 20? No, because they had seen Rasulullah doing something. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they say, oh, Umar appointed 3 talaqs in one sitting to be 3, otherwise used to be 1. Did you hear Rasulullah say 1? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who narrated the hadith, when Hazrat Umar passed this verdict in front of all the companions, and not a single soul objected, not even Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. So who was haq on the side of? And why shouldn't the beloved Prophet of Allah Sadiqul Amin had said, Al-haq yantaliqu ala lisani Umar. When Umar speaks, Umar doesn't speak rubbish, Umar speaks haq. And why should he speak haq? Wallahu ja'ala al-haq ala lisani Umar wa qalbi. Allah has put haq on the tongue and heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. And then before Dr. Zakir Naik, many of you probably listened to him as well. Zakir Naik Saab, he says, all tawassul is shirk. In 25 verses in the Quran, it says shirk, tawassul is haram, but he can't even quote one ayat. The Quran commands, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. Allah is telling the believers, make wasila. Zakir Naik is saying it is shirk. Making command of Allah shirk. What jahalat can you have? He might be a doctor for others, mashallah, but he should worry for his own iman. Hazrat Allah commands it in the Quran. Imam Bukhari has reported it in Bukhari. The amal of Umar radiallahu anhu, when there was no rain for many years. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti has it in Tazkiratul Huffaz that there was a drought in Medina in the 17th year after Hijri. Hazrat Umar took the people out to pray to Allah, Ya Allah, give us rain. And he made a dua 17th year after Hijri. Rasulullah passed away 11th year after Hijri. So how many years after Rasulullah? 6 years. Imam Bukhari has reported, they say Sahih Hadith, follow Sahih Hadith. When the Imams have said, if you get the Sahih Hadith, and then leave what I have said, throw it on the wall and accept Sahih Hadith. This is a Sahih Hadith. Why doesn't Zakir Naik accept it? Sahih Hadith, Amal of Umar radiallahu anhu. Allahumma, inna kunna natawassalu ilayka bi nabiyyika. Ya Allah, we have been doing wasila of your Prophet unto you, Ya Allah. Ask Maulana Sahib what it means afterward. Madi istimrari, continuous past. Not once, not twice. For how many years? 6 years after Rasulullah passed away. For many years during the Prophet's life. We are ummati of Rasulullah. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They were Jews before Rasulullah came. Allah says in the Quran, but these people don't read Quran. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَمَا لُسِيِّ Tafsir Ruh al-Mahani has written, the Jews, when they would be confronted in battles, struggling, not achieving victory, they would raise their hands, Ya Allah, give us victory by the sadaqah and wasila of your last Nabi. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا When they would be stuck in battles, not knowing what to do, they're not getting anywhere, getting beaten, they would say, Ya Allah, give us victory with the wasila of your Prophet, Rahmatul Alameen, Khatimul Nabiyeen. Allah will give them victory with the wasila that they prayed to Allah for of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, فَلَمَّا جَاءُ مَعْرَفُ كَفَرُوا بِهِ When Rasulullah came to them, they rejected him and denied him. Allah says, فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ الْكَافِرِينَ And so the Jews used to make wasila. Hazrat Umar made wasila. Imam Bukhari has reported it. Allah has commanded it. Zakir Naik says it's shirk. And our selfie brother says, oh, shirk, shirk, shirk. Oh, it was only permissible when Rasulullah was alive. After his death, it's become shirk. If only Allah grant them understanding of what is shirk. What is shirk? If you make sajda on a grave, everybody will say it is ijazat, jais. It is to make sajda on a grave is shirk. And if that person was alive, will it be halal and jais? So what is shirk? Is shirk whether he's dead or alive. It doesn't matter to Allah. If you are making sajda to ghairullah, whether he's dead or alive is the same. So what is shirk when he's dead is same shirk when he's alive. And everybody agrees when Rasulullah was alive, Sahaba used to make Rasulullah's wasila. But they say, oh, now that Rasulullah's died, wasila becomes shirk. How can it become shirk? The main reason why wasila was allowed was because Rasulullah was dear to Allah. And Sahaba used to say, Ya Allah, with the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because Allah loves Rasulullah. One of Rasulullah's name is Habibullah. Habibullah means beloved of Allah. When Rasulullah was alive, Allah loved him. Now that Rasulullah has passed away, Allah hates him. Now that Rasulullah tasted of death, and in any case, Rasulullah said, Al-Anbiya wa ahyaum fi quburihim yusallun. Prophets are alive in their graves and they pray. Many a people say, no, he is dead. He did taste of death. But what happens after death is another story, different story with everybody. Sahih hadith reported in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah says, when I went to Miraj and I passed over the qabr of Musa, فَرَأَيْتُهُ قَائِمٌ يُسَلِّي فِي قَبْرِ. And Rasulullah said, I saw Musa, he was standing and praying in his grave. So if he was standing and praying in his grave, was he dead or alive? Was he dead or alive? Alive. So if Rasul Musa alayhi salam was alive in his grave and Rasulullah saw him praying, what do you think was Rasulullah's aqidah? Prophets are dead or alive in their graves? Alive in their graves. And if other prophets are alive in their graves, is Rasulullah dead in his grave or alive in his grave? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afdalul anbiya. If Musa alayhi salam was alive in his grave praying, so Rasulullah is dead now, subhanallah. Rasulullah is alive in his grave. Different life, better life, superior life. Allah says, those who are killed in the path of Allah, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتُ. Those who are killed in the path of Allah, don't say they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are alive, but you can't understand. In another verse, Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Don't even think they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Rather, they are alive in the presence of the Lord. They are given rizq. Shuhada are alive. Imam al-Anbiya is not alive. He is alive. So in any case, if it is shirk to do wasila when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has tasted of death, then why was it permissible when he was alive? But because it was permissible when he was alive, it is just as permissible after he passed away. And Hazrat Umar proved by confessing, Allahumma inna kunna natawassalu ilayka bi nabiyyika. Ya Allah, we have been making the wasila of your Rasul to you, Ya Allah, your Nabi. Umar, why did you make wasila of Rasulullah in your dua? Because the sunnah of Sahaba to make wasila of Rasulullah in your dua. But many people are allergic to Sahaba. Not only Shias, others, they call themselves Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. But they are also allergic to Sahaba. And especially anybody allergic to Umar radiallahu anhu. You know what Rasulullah said about him? Somebody allergic to Hazrat Umar. There is someone very well known allergic to Hazrat Umar. Umar, walladhi nafsi biyadihi. I swear by him who holds my life in his hands. مَا لَقِيَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ سَالِكًا فَجًّا قَدْ إِلَّا وَسَلَكَ فَجًّا غَيْرَ فَجِّكَ. Oh Umar, there is somebody. When he sees you, he can't stand his ground. He has to run. Run. You know who he is? Shit. Have you heard of him? God, why are you scared? This word to Sara Mira Lagar. Why are you scared? The Prophet said, Omar, I swear by him who holds my life in his hands. When Shaitan sees you, he does a warm U-turn, he quickly gets out of your way. He can't stand to face you. So anybody who's allergic to Hazrat Umar, you know he's a friend of shaitan and talking language of shaitan. And he calls himself Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. How can he be part of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah are those who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the way he was followed by his companions. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those who follow my path and the path of my companions. Oh, but Umar did this and Rasulullah did this. Well, who told you what Rasulullah did? Was Imam Bukhari there? Ibn Taymiyyah al-Albani, Ibn Baz were there? Who was there? Umar was there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was there. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was there. Abdullah bin Umar was there. Ubay ibn Ka'b was there. Hazrat Aisha was there. And they saw Rasulullah. And all they prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was saying, my dear brothers, we are living in difficult times. Difficult times. One of the most difficult things faced by many people. So many different people saying different things. We have to pray to Allah to guide us to the right path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. How many times in your life? How many times? Minimum 600,000 times. 32 times a day, 11,801 years. In 10 years, 118. 50 years, almost 600,000 times. You will be praying to Allah, Ya Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. When you pray behind the Imam, you keep quiet. And don't let nobody fool you. Deceive you, cheat you. If you don't pray Fatiha behind the Imam, it's not valid. Well, if our prayer isn't valid, then nor is the prayer of Jabir bin Abdullah, Mufti of Medina for 70 years. Nor is the prayer of Abdullah bin Umar. Nor is the prayer of Zayd ibn Thabit. And many other Sahaba. Radiallahu anhu majma'in. We accept some people do. We never say to them, no. But don't leave us alone. We are in the path of Sahaba, the students of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you pray, you don't just say, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Do you say, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, Allahu Akbar? What do you say after that? Do you say something after this? Surah Fatiha stop there? Then you say, sirat Allah, zina an'amta alayhim. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Many people, they say, no, you only got to follow Rasulullah. Well, Surah, they haven't even learned Surah Fatiha yet. I said, there are two types of muftis, mashallah. One, a mufti who's done 10 years, 12 years, under, mashallah, qualified mufti, studied, learned Quran, Arabic, fiqh, tafsir, hadith, mashallah, not just Bukhari, but all many other books of hadith as well. And they've been given authority, permission to give fatwa. Others, there are mufti min al-mufti. Freestyle muftis. In the UK, we have supermarkets. Many a time they do deals, buy one, get one free. You pay for one, you get one free. These mufti min al-mufti, you don't even ask, they give you 10 fatwas free. And there's only one fatwa they know. Kafir, 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 kafir. Mushrik, 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 mushrik. You go into Jahannam, Jahannam, Jahannam. They have taken a subcontract from Allah to fill Jahannam. Many people, they are contractors, they subcontract work. One man, you know, he takes the whole contract, plumber, electrician, carpenter, subcontracts it. They think Allah has given them the subcontract to fill Jahannam. Allah will fill Jannat himself. But no, Allah doesn't subcontract anything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ Allah himself will judge. And the Shias, they say, Ali will judge. In Jilawlu Yur Mullah Baqir Majlisi Radha Mullah Baqir Majusi. He says that Ali radiallahu anhu said, and now Hazrat Ali never said that. Hazrat Ali had no right to say that. Hazrat Ali said, I am the owner of the Day of Judgment. Allah says in the Quran, who is the owner? Maliki? Who's Maliki Yawmiddin? Allah. Mullah Baqir Majlisi Majusi says that Ali is owner of the Day of Judgment. Who gives life and death? Allah. Why are you scared to say? Someone else giving you life and death? Who gives life and death? Allah gives life and death. Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, Ali gives life and death. Who decides when you will die? Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, no mu'min, mushrik, munafiq, kafir can die until Ali says he can die. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Ali radiyallahu anhu never ever said such kufr. But they assigned kufr to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What is mustaqim? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. People say, we just got to follow Rasulullah. Well, Hazrat Umar said this. Well, Umar said this, Rasulullah said this, we got to follow Rasulullah. What are you saying? Hazrat Umar wasn't behind Rasulullah. India, Pakistan, it's a bit different, but I think, mashallah, in South Africa, you're a bit more civilized. When you go to the bank in petrol pump, there's a queue, huh? What do you do? Jump to the front of the queue, get back in the queue. You line up in the queue, supermarket, petrol pump, bank, wherever, airport. If you go into India, Pakistan, Karachi, Bombay, wherever, here you might line up. It's another thing when you get to Bombay, everybody jumps here and there. But normally, civilized society, people line up. This ummah has been coming from the top. Rasulullah at the front, Sahaba, Tabi'in, Aiman Mujtahideen, Salaf Saleheen. We are 1400 years down the line. People like Zaki Naik and others, they say, our Salafi brothers, they say, let's get in front of Umar. Umar said this, Rasulullah said this, we have to get behind Rasulullah. And your bank, they will say, get to the back. Allah will say, will Allah allow anyone to step in front of Hazrat Umar? You think Allah will allow people to step in front of Hazrat Umar? And Allah will say, get to the back. And Imam Bukhari says that. Imam Bukhari says, get to the back. And this ummah has been coming. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, has dedicated a chapter to this issue. In Bab al-Ihtisami bil Kitabi wa Sunnah, right at the end of Bukhari. He says, Imam Bukhari says, Bab, naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. If we get in the line, there are people in front, we get behind them, others will get behind us. You have an orderly line. This ummah has the tasalsul, continuity. You try and jump in front of Umar, Allah will never accept it. Allah will say, says who? Says Imam Bukhari. Naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. Get in the whole line. There's a line of pious people. And we are people who go to schools, they do a bit of maths. You have a graph, goodness, your time, speed, anything, whatever, the graph goes up like this. Straight line, y equals mx plus c. But if you draw a graph of goodness against time, like this, the graph of goodness has been coming down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described this. Hadith in Bukhari, لا يأتي عليكم عام ولا يوم إلا والذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقى ربك. We've come 1400 years down the line. You think Allah will allow us to step in front of Hazrat Umar? Never! Never! Get in the line. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. الذين is plural, not singular. Yes, ultimately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our Imam, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka la min al mursaleen ala sirat al mustaqim. Rasulullah is on sirat al mustaqim. His companions, students are on sirat al mustaqim. His students, companions, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Allah is not only happy with them, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahum. Allah loves them, they love Allah. And they say, a friend of your friend is also a friend. Sahaba one is friends of Allah. They were beloveds of Allah. And this is not a weak hadith from Fazal-e-Amal. Many people are allergic to all sorts of things. Many people have nut allergies. And many people have serious allergies. Some people are allergic to Hazrat Umar's name. Many are allergic to Fazal-e-Amal. Zayif hadith is fabricated stories. Wallahi lazim, hundreds of verses of Quran in there. What are they saying? And these are all fabricated. People say, it's in Bukhari. What's in Bukhari? In Bukhari, Rasulullah said, Hadithu an Bani Israel wa la haraj. Even if these Christian Jews tell you stories, no problem. Rasulullah hasn't got a problem with the stories of the Jews and the Christians. You've got a problem with the Muslim Muhaddith Azam of modern times. In recent years, there hasn't been a greater Muhaddith than Maulana Zakariya Rahmanullah. And hundreds of his students are Muhaddiths. This is a sign of Qubuliyat from Allah. After the Quran, probably the most read book in the world is Fazal-e Amal. Millions of people Allah has blessed, men, women, children, because of Fazal-e Amal. It's read almost in millions of homes, in thousands and thousands of masjids worldwide, including here. Do they read Fazal-e Amal here? Alhamdulillah. They read it everywhere. Sign of Qubuliyat from Allah. So they are allergic. They are allergic to Fazal-e Amal, Allahu Akbar. But Fazal-e Amal, Allah has honored this book. Allah, this is a sign of Qubuliyat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. The Surah Fatiha stop there. You say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. So you stop there, make Allahu Akbar. Then you say, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Ya Allah, guide us to the right path, the path of those you have favored, not the path of those who earned your anger and were led astray, mainly Jews and Christians, but anybody who does anything wrong which makes Allah angry, Ya Allah, save us from your anger. Don't lead us astray. So you don't just have to know what is right, you also have to know what is wrong, so that you can stay away from wrong. Allah says about us, مَا تَعْكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever Rasulullah tells you to, gives you, take it. What he tells you to do, do it. When he says no, then stop. This positive, negative. I go to Masjid, Mawlana, please don't talk about controversial issues. Why not? Allah says in Surah Fatiha, you have to know controversial issues. You have to know what's right from wrong. If you don't know what is wrong, you go to a doctor with diabetes. A doctor says, take insulin injection, whatever, but don't eat sugar. Don't know potatoes, no kadi khichdi anymore. Whatever. Not this, not that anymore. Do you ever say, Alhamdulillah, here many Patels are Muslims, but in the UK there are many Patels who are Hindus. Dr. Patel, Dr. Jones, Dr. Smith, who the hell are you, man? You're a kafir. Where's the dalil? You got no right. Allah has made it halal. Why are you telling me not to eat red meat? Allah has made it halal. Allah has made sugar halal. Why are you telling me not to eat this? Allah has made it halal, but it's not good for you at the moment. You don't question Him. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. You have to know what is right and what is wrong. What to believe, what not to believe. What is good, what is bad. What is halal, what is haram. You have to know both aspects. So you can do what is halal and you can refrain from what is halal. You have to know tawheed, you have to know shirk, you have to know sunnah, you have to know bidah. You have to know your aqeedah. You have to know what Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe, and you have to know what Shias believe, what Qadianis believe, what others believe, so that you don't fall into the same trap. This is not a controversial issue. This is a fundamental issue. This is a fundamental issue. This is to do with your iman. You have to know. And if you don't know, this is why people are fooling you. This is why people are cheating people. This is why people are preying on your honor. They are preying on your daughters, on your sisters, on your granddaughters. Telling them, oh, muta is halal. Look, good. You don't need a girlfriend, boyfriend. Girlfriend, boyfriend is haram. Why you want to indulge in haram and commit zina? Just make muta. Muta is halal. Allah, Rasulullah's time, Rasulullah made it permissible. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also used to overlook people drinking, gambling for many years. Muslims used to, in the beginning, they used to drink. They used to gamble, even deal in interest. Rasulullah overlooked it. These were part of the Arab culture. Until Allah revealed verses forbidding this, Rasulullah overlooked it. They continued doing it. And Muslims continued to drink and gamble for almost 17, 18 years in Islam. Until Allah revealed the ayat of hurmat, of alcohol and gambling. And interest was made haram right in the last year. But once it was made haram, but we all know they all did it. Can you now come and say, Qari sahab, I work in a multinational company. There's a parties, meetings. They drink and then I have to attend these meetings as well. You know, pint every now and then. What will Qari sahab say? You can. The Sahaba used to do it in the beginning, so you might as well. Is that what he will say? No. When it was halal, well, when it's not halal, when it was permissible. Once made haram. Similarly, muda. When it was permissible, it was permissible. When it was made haram, Rasulullah said, haramun ila yawm al-qiyamah. Hazrat Ali announced this. Rasulullah made Hazrat Ali announce it, that muta is haram till the day of Qiyamah. Until Khaybar, they used to do muta. But not the same muta that Shias do now. In Shia books, it's written, there are only two conditions. In Usul-e-Kahfi, volume 5, page 455. Shibab shurutul muta, conditions of muta. A muta only has two conditions. Ajrun musamma wa ajrun musamma. Fixed price, fixed time. What's that? They say it's the oldest profession in humanity. What's that? Prostitution. Thank you, Qari sahab. Fixed time, fixed price. No wali, no witness, no maulana sahab. What do you say? How much do you want for an hour? Somebody asked Imam Jafar Sadiq, according to Yaqub Kulaini, how many people, brothers, got smartphones, mashallah? How many phones are smarter than people now, mashallah? Smartphones. Ask Sheikh Google, or even Mufti Twitter, and he'll tweet to you. Allahu Akbar. Yaqub Kulaini, the only scholar in the history of Shiaism given the title Thiqa. And then Mullah Baqi Majlisi, Majusi, and the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. Mullah Yaqub Kulaini has written in Kafi, volume 5, page 455, only two conditions of Muta, fixed time, fixed price. And then he says, there's no need for wali, no need for witnesses, no need for a nikah. Just fix your time, fix your price, and go ahead. Enjoy yourself. And he said, how long can you do it? He said, no problem, an hour, 2 hours, no problem. As much as you like, as long as you like. And then he said, well, how many, if you make muta with someone, is she part of the four that you're allowed? He goes, no, she's extra, even 1,000 will do. Even 1,000 is allowed. What's that? Is that nikah? That's prostitution. That's fawash, indecency. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفُوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Don't go anywhere near indecency. And for sometimes they say, أَقَلْ مَنْ آدمِ كِلِيَ إِشَارَةِ كَافِي هُتَا هَا. Sometimes even in Hindi is sufficient for people, for those who have common sense. But then common sense isn't so common anymore. So Allah makes it clear. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't go anywhere near zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلَ. It's grossly immoral, grossly indecent, very bad path. Don't go anywhere near zina. And you want, Allah has put this urge in you. You're a grown-up man now, mashallah. Rasulullah said, يَا مَاشَرَ الشَّبَابَ. Oh, you young people. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. You've reached the age now, if you can handle it, get married. If you feel the urge, the temptation, the drive, you want some pleasure, this is the ultimate pleasure in life. This is such a strong urge. Allah's put it there. Allah's put it there. Why? So that you will continue the human race. Otherwise, it's not easy being married sometimes. And people say, single and loving it. singer and enjoying it. No, the pleasure Allah has put, the sukoon Allah has put. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. For a man, there is so much happiness, peace, sukoon, when you just go home and you smile at your wife and she smiles back, mashallah. The whole day's worries, half gone. We're all gone. MashaAllah. Such Allah's made this man for a woman, woman for a man. And Allah has put so much love. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah has put that love in your hearts. This is the fazl of Allah. Thank Allah. If Allah gives anyone a partner in life, الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا مَتَاعٌ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. Everything in the world is good, but the best thing you can have after iman is a good wife. For a man, a good wife. For a woman, a good husband. Our deen isn't just about praying, fasting, and going to umrah every year or hajj. Half of your deen and iman is your family life. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best amongst you are those who learn and teach Qur'an. But on the same note, the Prophet said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَقْلِهِ. The best amongst you are those who are good with their family members. Your iman isn't just determined by how many rakats of namaz you pray, how much charity you've given, how many hajj you've done. The Prophet said, أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلْقًا وَأَلْطَفُهُمْ بِأَهْلِهِ. To have good akhlaq and to treat your family sensibly, responsibly, truthfully, properly. And this is your akhlaq. This is the measure of your iman. Family life is half of your deen. And so when you want to get married and you reach the age, you think you want some action, get married. You think you need a lot of action, no problem. You're not satisfied with one, two, three, four, mashallah. Mathna wa thulatha wa ruba. But if you can't handle them, fawahida. Be content with one. Many people when they get married, Wadana sahab, number one, I have intention for four. MashaAllah. But many can't even handle one. So be happy, mashaAllah. And Allah has made it lawful, halal. You go home. We are living in difficult times now. Anybody go out, mashaAllah, posters. Anything anybody wants to promote, mashaAllah. Someone glamorous model. You go up there, wow, even the babajis. Their eyes pop out. Allahu Akbar. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Or you see someone fashionable. It's fashionable nowadays. Many of our sisters, they wear scarf but tight jeans. Scarf but tight jeans. And many brothers were telling me it's fashionable here to wear an abaya but nothing. And many people, many women dress up on marriages to go to mashallah, somebody else's marriage as though it's their marriage. As though they're going to beauty contest, mashallah. And the man introduces, she's my wife. What's he saying, take her? As though he said, take her. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When you go somewhere, you see someone and it boggles your mind, you become crazy. And the pressure starts cooking. Then Rasulullah said, go home and burst the bubble. Go home and satisfy yourself. Khalas. You need more action. One, not one is not good enough. Two, three, four. But be happy with that. That's enough. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. No problem. You go wives, they are halal. Allah has mentioned women, your mothers, daughters, sisters, aunties, women that who have nursed you, your sisters, your nieces, and your daughter-in-laws, your mother-in-laws, they are all haram for you, you can't marry them. وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Married women, stay away, stay away. And then other than that, وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ. Anything other than this, if there's no reason for them to be haram for you, you can marry any one of them. أَنْتَبْدَخُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. When you get married, somebody goes for an interview or sends someone and he goes for an interview. What does he do? Can he look after my daughter? He's going to put her on the street. And so the basis is wealth. You've got to have social status. You've got to be able to look after someone you are bringing into your life. So Allah says, "Antabtaqu bi amwalikum
Muhsineen.
A muhsineen is means married. In marriage comes from the root word hisan. Hisan in Arabic means a castle. Marriage is a fort. Marriage is a castle. Just as in a castle you are safe from the attack of an enemy. A married man is safe from the influence of shaitan. Shaitan will attack him. But just as in a fort and castle you are safe, in marriage you are safe. You've got a place to burst your bubble. Go home immediately, satisfy yourself, and shaitan will leave you. It's become safe now. Muhsineen, ghayra musafihin. It's not just to pass the water. Not just to pass the water. The whole purpose is to be safe. Safe. And this wala muttakhidati akhda, not secret affairs. Ajal musamma wa ajal musamma. Fixed price, fixed time, no wali, no witness, no maulana sahab. What's that? Marriage? That is prostitution. In every society, when a man gets married, even the Zulus, when they get married, jungle civilization, I don't know the name of other tribes here, but I heard of Zulus. When there's a marriage, what do people do? Send out invitations. MashaAllah. Firstly, there's a proposal. The boy, or he sends his father or uncle or someone, initially you go, please. I've seen someone told me, put in a recommendation, so please go. The man, if he's got a daughter, you go and ask for a proposal, he might accept or reject. But this is the way it happens. He won't be offended you came to his door. It's up to him to accept or reject, but this is the way people ask. And then, mashallah, once a matter is agreed, mashallah, invitations are sent out, community gathers, food is cooked, people are invited, everybody makes mulaqat, mubarak, mashallah, presents, mubarak. Everybody knows, son of so-and-so is married, son of so-and-so. And this is the way it works in every society, this is the way it's always been. When someone does it secretly, quietly, come, let's go. Whatever the rate might be. And quietly, secretly. And they say muta used to be done in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Muta was done in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But it wasn't a secret affair. It was exactly the same proposal, witnesses, permission of wali, proper nikah, but for a fixed time. In those days, there were no holidays, intercontinentals. People used to go somewhere, stay somewhere. So what they would do, they would find someone to stay, someone with a young girl, look after them, marry them for a while, month, 2 months, 3 months, as long as they were going to stay. The marriage responsibility, he would provide expenditure, stay there, and if the woman became pregnant and the child was conceived, he would be responsible for the child. But now, fixed time, fixed price, 1 hour is over, go home, I don't care. And that's not muta in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That muta in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the same as nikah, but with a fixed time condition, after which the time would end. And if any child was conceived and born, the father would be responsible for that child. But even this muta was made haram initially at Khaybar, and then because in those days there were no BBMs, you know BBMs. BlackBerry messages, mashallah. And no one could spend a message around, everybody find out. Whoever was close to Rasulullah, Rasulullah announced, and they passed on the message. Sometimes everybody got the message, sometimes they didn't. So the matter carried on. And at Fath Makkah, according to some ulama, the Prophet simply announced again, because some people were still making muta, because they didn't know, they didn't get a text message. Others, they say Rasulullah on the day of Fath Makkah, then re-halaled it. He made announcement, it's permissible for a few days. But on the day of Fath Makkah, Rasulullah announced that now muta is haram till the day of Qiyamah. Many people became aware, many didn't, they carried on. Those who became aware stopped, those who didn't become aware carried on. When the matter reached as Umar radiallahu anhu's khilafat, as Umar discovered, still people are making muta. Hazrat Umar then endorsed it and ensured everybody found out that muta is haram. Hazrat Umar didn't make it haram, Rasulullah made it haram. And then he was made haram till Qiyamah. Haram, 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 haram. Let no Shia khabees tell you it is halal. It's haram. It's immoral. It's indecent. And they know it's haram and indecent. But they prey on Sunni girls deliberately to humiliate them, disgrace them, put them to shame, and prey on them. Like vultures. BBC did a report, and BBC, you know BBC? British Broadcasting Corporation from the UK. And they did a report, and they don't report on local gossip. They report on international affairs. And they did a report, she is actively, aggressively promoting Buddha universities. MashaAllah, many of your daughters, they work multinational companies. Big time jobs. And you haven't got time for them. Their husbands haven't got time for them. They're busy working as well. But they are human. They need some action. So the Shia, they prey on them. Don't worry. Let's go. Half an hour. Only half an hour. It's haram, zina, whatever. No, these Maulvis don't know. They tell you wrong. Muta is halal. It's permissible. It's not permissible. And if it was permissible, Maulana Sahab, Haji Sahab, Amir Sahab, Maulana Sahab, even if he's got a daughter, he will feel no shame in saying to an elderly person in the community, Haji Sahab, you know, I've got a daughter, Alhamdulillah, she's just become an Alma, Farid, oh, just finished, she's reached the age to be married. If you know a decent boy, let me know, inshallah, we'll try and arrange a marriage. Maulana Sahab, you see, I say, oh, any of them. It happens, no shame, no harm. Everybody does that everywhere. But if Shias regard Buddha to be halal, then why doesn't any Shia Zakir come to the mimbar and say, and in the congregation, many young Shias, oh you Shia young men, I have a daughter come home with me for half an hour. Any one of you want some action, I have a nice daughter, come home with me, only half an hour. Will he say that? Will he say that? He won't say that. Or perhaps, mashallah, he's got a mother as well. He's been doing her khidmat. He can do other khidmat, but he can't do a special khidmat. So he says to a man, my mother is a divorcee. She got a divorce or widow when she was young. I'm looking after her, feeding her and other things, but I can't do the special service. So anybody want to do a mudah with my mom, come home. Will any Shia Zakir Khabees say that? Never. Why not? If it's halal to pray on other women, what's wrong with your women? And if anybody, he had a daughter, she became divorced. Divorce takes place in society, every society. Sometimes her fault, sometimes not her fault. Sometimes she tried her best, but the man, he was having plenty action outside. And he wasn't satisfied with what was on. She became aware, and whatever happened, argument, and talaq, talaq, talaq. She came home to her father's. Next time there's another proposal, you think the man might say, no, sir, I'm more than happy to proceed, but she's divorced. Is that the right thing to say or not? To make the man aware. She was married, didn't work out, but alhamdulillah, we're looking for some other man, but she has been divorced before. You think he might say that? Any harm? Any shame? No shame. Will any Shia Zakir, or any Shia who's been doing muta with other women, if his daughter has done muta, when somebody proposes to her, will he say, we want to proceed, but my daughter has done muta 10 times? Will he say that? Will any man then marry this woman who's done muta 5 times, 6 times, 10 times? Not only any Shia Zakir won't do that. Mullah Yaqub Kulaini says in Usul al-Kafi, volume 5, page 451, he says, Imam Baqir was asked, are you tell other people to make muta with other people's daughters? What about if somebody came and wanted to make muta with women of your house, your daughters, your sisters, your nieces? What do you think? Imam Baqir turned his face around in disgust. How can you ask me this? How can any man in his decent frame of mind and aql and senses or imam agree to someone being indecent with his sister, with his daughter? So when these Shias tell you, and if there's any sister listening, any younger listening, let no Shia khabees fool you into thinking that muta is halal. It's not. It's haram, 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 haram. It's lanat, lanat, lanat. And they're only preying on your honor because you're a Sunni girl, and out of the hatred for Sunnis, and you think they have any sympathy for you. They had no sympathy for Rasulullah, for his daughters, for his companions. No sympathy for Abu Bakr. No sympathy for Umar. No sympathy for Aisha radiallahu anha. Do you think they will have any sympathy for you? No sympathy for you. They are just vultures waiting to prey on ignorant, innocent Sunni girls. So muta is not halal, muta is haram. And this is the biggest difference, the biggest, oldest rift in the ummah is the Sunni-Shia rift. 1400 years have passed. Many people say, Maulana, but they pray. They pray salat, they read kalima, they read Quran, they fast in the month of Ramadan, they even go to Hajj, they build masjids. Every single reputable Shia scholar has written, if there is any reputable book, and every reputable book written by any reputable Shia scholar, they've all stated that after Rasulullah passed away, all Sahaba became murtad. Nauzubillah. Exception of four: Hazrat Ali, Salman Farsi, Miqdad bin Aswad, Abu Zarr al-Ghifari. And sometimes they are generous with Ammar ibn Yasir as well. These four, five Sahaba, after Rasulullah passed away, they all became murtad. Nauzubillah, nauzubillah, nauzubillah. This isn't just an issue of Sahaba. This is an issue of the dignity of Rasulullah. If you have a Qari Sahab teaching 100 kids, specially selected from the whole town, after interviews, specially selected 100 children are given to Qari Sahab. After suppose 5 years of teaching, from those 100, only 4 pass from 100. What will the community to say to Maulvi Sahab, you're a great Maulana? What will they say? You are a? I said to somebody last night, we were in Azadville, and one Haji Sahab said, rotten man. If a professor given 100 children to teach many years, selected children, 100 children, only 4 pass, what sort of professor is he? You will say, rotten professor. Rasulullah was given 100,000 students, the best of the best, and given 23 years, and after 23 years, only 4 students pass. Where does that leave Rasulullah? That leaves Rasulullah, na'uzubillah, as an absolute failure, disgrace. So when the Shias, they say, they all became murtad, it's not an issue of Sahaba, it's an issue of the honor of Rasulullah. And when they say, they all became murtad, they did not become murtad. The Quran says, when people were becoming murtad, people did become murtad. There were some munafiqs, and she has deceived you and cheated you, fooled you into thinking Rasulullah had munafiqs around him, and they quote verses from the Quran. وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مُنَافِقُونَ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. That in Medina there were munafiqs, and around Rasulullah there were munafiqs. Look, the Quran is saying there were munafiqs around Rasulullah. But those munafiqs were not Abu Bakr, that wasn't Umar, that wasn't Usman, it wasn't Ali or any of the Sahaba. There were people from the villages who hadn't come to spend any time with Rasulullah. And Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, man yartadda minkum an deenihi. These Shia khabees will tell you that the Quran is saying that the Sahaba became murtad. Sahaba did not become murtad. Sahaba stood by the ground. The people who became murtad were these min al-Arab munafiqun, who had never come to Medina, never spent time around Rasulullah. And those who were around Rasulullah, Allah says, qatalahumullah. May Allah destroy them. Aynama thuqifu, ukhidu wa qutilu taqtila. They were taken, they were captured, they were killed. They were rid of. And the ones who remained, Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah brought a nation. And I ask you, is there any nation with four men? In dunya mein koi aisi qaum hai jo char afraad ko mushtamil ho? Any nation consisting of four people? Every nation consists of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. That's what you call a nation. And Allah said, when people were becoming murtad, Allah raised a nation. A nation, what sort of a nation? يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah loved them, they loved Allah. What did they do? يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They made jihad. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They didn't fear anybody's criticism. And then Allah gave them victory. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Then they were victorious. They did become murtad, but the murtad were those who fell prey to Musaylimah Kadhaab, Aswadi Ansi, Tulaha Asadi and Tusaja, not Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they tell you only four were left, they all became murtad. What are they saying? They are saying, Na'uzu billah, Abu Bakr was kafir, Umar was kafir, Usman was kafir, Aisha Na'uzu billah was kafir. And so the people, because now, mashallah, many of you become businessmen. You have business dealings with these Shias. They are your business partners, business associates. So your sympathies lie with them. So people say, Maulana, they read Kalima, they read Namaz, they do Roza, they go to Hajj, they have masjids. So how can you call them kafir? Did Abu Bakr read Kalima? Did Umar read Kalima? Did they read Namaz? Did they not do Hajj? Did they not fast? And did they build masjids? So if they can call them kafir, why can't you call them kafir? So where are your sympathies? Are your sympathy simply because of lands and cents? Or is your sympathy with the students, companions, beloveds of Rasulullah? If someone says nasty to your wife, will you sit on the dasturkhan, eat with them? Somebody swears at your mother, curses your mother, curses your wife, curses your daughter. When you grow up, when Allah blesses you with children, you have a son, you want to get him the best of the brides. He wants the best of the bride for himself. The father wants to bring in the best of the bride. The mother wants a good bride for his first son. You think Allah didn't want the best bride for his beloved Prophet? What do you think? Did Allah want? Allah chose the best of the best. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin wa at-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. Good women for good men, good men for good women. There was no one better ever than Rasulullah. So Allah chose the best of the best for His beloved Prophet. Ya Nisa al-Nabi, lastun ya Nisa al-Nabi, lastunnaka ahad minan Nisa. There is no other woman like you in the world. Allah chose the best of the best. Hazrat Aisha, Hafsa, all the wives of Rasulullah, Allah says they are your mothers. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. The Nabi is dear to the believers that even from themselves, and his wives are their mothers. Anybody who regards Aisha, Hafsa especially, as their mother, Quran says he's a believer. Anybody who doesn't regard Aisha, Hafsa as their mother, he's a kafir. You might have a mother alive. If anybody's mother is alive, thank Allah. Be respectful to her. Do whatever you can to keep her happy. You see a Miss World outside poster, you stare at her, and on the day of Qiyamah, hot rods will be pierced into the eyes. But you go home, and the old woman and the old man in your home, your father, your mother, her face might be wrinkled, her teeth might have fallen out, even dentures don't stay in there, arched back, she can't see properly. But you look at her face and smile. Rasulullah said, Allah will give you reward of one hajj. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, suppose somebody looks at their mother or father 100 times a day. Rasulullah said, Allah will give them a reward of 100 hajj a day. She might be your mother, she might not be your mother. Many families, a man gets married, Allah gives the children, the woman passes away, leaving behind young children. So what does the man do? Bring another wife. She's a stepmother, but the children call her mother as well. So the woman in your house, I'm not saying go home and say to your mother, you're not my mother. May Allah never ever bring a day in the house of, in the life of any Muslim when he goes home and shows any disrespect to his mother. Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. Your Jannat is under the feet of your mother. Your father is your door to Jannah. If anybody's mother or father are alive, especially if they are old, and they are your Jannat, look after them. But if anybody goes home and says to his mother, I don't care, you are not my mother anymore. But kismet, very shameful, very bad, but it won't make you a kafir. You'll be sinful, shameful, but not a kafir. But if anybody says, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Wallahi Razim, that person becomes a kafir immediately because Allah is saying she is your mother. So when these Shias, when they curse Aisha, they are cursing your mother. If somebody curses your mother, curses your wife, you will go and sit with them, have dinner with them. You will do business with them. Go to their house, bring them to your house. How are you going to face the Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah? It's not a controversial issue, my dear brothers. It's not a trivial issue. It's the issue of your iman. Where do your sympathies lie? With Rasulullah or with Atubullah? With Allah's messenger, his family, or with the enemies of Allah? And these people are enemies of Allah. In English, easy. It's a common saying. A friend of your friend is a? A friend of your friend is a? And an enemy of your friend is your enemy. Sahaba aren't just friends of Allah. Sahaba are yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. Allah loves them, they love Allah. They are the beloveds of Allah. There are two people Allah doesn't just hate. There are two people Allah is at war with. Allah is at war with many people, they say. What's happening in the world, Maulana? Why don't you talk about Syria and other places? If anybody talks, I don't stop them, but I personally don't. But I'll tell you one of the reasons why that's happening. In Tirmidhi, there's a long hadith. اتخذ الفي دولا والأمانة مغنما والزكاة مغرما وتعلم لغير الدين رفعت الأصوات في المساجد أطاع الرجل امرأته وقومه وأدنى صديقه وأقصى أباه شربت الخمور ظهرت القينات والمعازف ساد القوم فاسقهم وكان زعيم القوم أذلهم. And then the Prophet said, ولعن آخر هذه الأمة أولها. When the later part curses the first part, then Rasulullah said, فَارْتَقِبُوا عِنَّ ذَلِكَ رِيحًا حَمَرًا وَزَلْزَلَةً وَخَصْفًا وَمَسْخًا وَقَذْفًا وَآيَاتٍ تُتَابِعُكَ نِظَامٍ قُطِيَ سِلْكُهُ فَتَتَابَ. When the later part of the ummah will curse the best in the first part, then the Prophet said, well, just wait. There'll be such tornadoes, hurricanes, red winds and such earthquakes, such shaking, earth will split, towns will vanish. Allah will shower rocks, faces of people will change. Why? Because people are cursing Sahaba. Two people Allah is at war with. One is in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa dharu ma baqiya min ar-riba in kuntum mu'minin fa illam taf'alu fa'dhanu biharbin min Allah wa rasul. If you're eating interest, you're at war with Allah. And And the other second person Rasulullah mentioned, Hadith al-Qudsi, Sahih Bukhari. Man aada li waliyan faqad adantu bil harb. Anyone hate, not just fight, you got hard feelings, hatred in your heart for a friend of Allah. Allah says, come, let me sort you out. You're at war with Allah. Sahaba aren't just friends of Allah, they are beloveds of Allah. So anybody got any feeling in their heart, wrong feeling for Sahaba, nothing but love, he is at war with Allah. And if you are a friend of the enemy of Allah, then be careful, because you are then an enemy of Allah as well. So it isn't a controversial issue. It's not a trivial issue. It's an issue of your iman, your safety, your dunya and your akhirat. Finally, many people, when they do something wrong, someone's son comes home late at night, ill to drugs, drinking, gambling, doesn't respect his mother, answers back to his father, doesn't look after his children, Maulana, please make dua. What will he say? Mirla Gaiti. You know, is that what people might do? What can he do? He can only make dua. Mirla Gaiti. Somebody else brings another complaint, this problem, that problem, he's doing wrong. What will Maulana say? May Allah guide him. Haji Sahib will say, may Allah guide him. But when you see people swearing at Sahaba, don't say, may Allah guide him. إِذَا رَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. Don't say, may Allah guide you. Say, Rasulullah said, this is not my fatwa. I don't give fatwa. I'm not a mufti. There's plenty muftis here, mashallah, and very good muftis. Not mufti min al-mufti, very good muftis. This isn't even their fatwa. This is the fatwa of Imam al-Anbiya. إِذَا رَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. And then say, may Allah curse you because you are nothing but evil. And even Rasulullah just didn't say that. Allah says in the Quran himself, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who hurt Allah and His Rasul. When someone curses Rasulullah's wife, you think Rasulullah is happy? Rasulullah will feel hurt. So those who hurt Rasulullah, Allah says, Allah will curse them in dunya and akhirah. And especially those who hurt Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. Hazrat Fatima came with a complaint once about Hazrat Aisha. Wasn't a complaint, was a suggestion, request. And when Rasulullah came to Medina, Rasulullah married a number of women. They are all our mothers. And Sahaba knew Rasulullah loves Aisha very much. Amr ibn As, he asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyun nas ahabbu ilayk? Who do you love the most? Rasulullah said, Aisha. He said, Ya Rasulullah, min al-rijal. What I meant was from the men. The Prophet said, Abuha, her father. And the woman Rasulullah loves the most, the daughter of the man Rasulullah loves the most. Sahaba knew Rasulullah had special feelings for Aisha. So they used to wait for when it was Aisha's turn to give Rasulullah some hadiya, some food they had cooked, some fruit, some date, some meat if they had slaughtered an animal. They would wait for the day Rasulullah would be in Aisha's house, because Rasulullah that day would feel very relaxed and happy. And then when they sent a present, he would feel even more happy. Nurun ala nur, the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the other wives of Rasulullah, they approached as a Fatima. Fatima, Rasulullah never says no to you. He never says no to you. So why don't you go and please put in a request to Rasulullah to tell his Sahaba that we are also his wives. And if they want to send something, they can send something to our houses as well. We won't keep it all to ourselves. We will also pass it on to Rasulullah. They don't have to wait a whole week. When Hazrat Fatima came with this request, Rasulullah said, Fatima, when it comes to Aisha, don't say anything to me. Fatima, don't say anything to me with regards to Aisha. And don't you love the woman your father loves? Are you not happy that Aisha is my wife? And Rasulullah was so sensitive towards Aisha radiallahu anha. And when the munafiqs slandered her, other people didn't know what was happening. And Rasulullah was worried. He obviously couldn't ask Abu Bakr, what do you think? Is your daughter Aisha like this? Abu Bakr is a father. Umar, what do you think? Can Aisha ever be like the way like these munafiqs are saying? Usman, what do you think? Ali, what do you think? Barira, what do you think? Bilal, what do you think? Rasulullah was so worried. Allah came to her defense. وَلَوْلَا إِسْمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Why did you all speak up and say when they were slandering her, this is all rubbish. Aisha is not like that. Aisha is innocent. Other people couldn't speak up. Rasulullah was worried. Allah Rabbul Alameen defended Aisha. So when these Majusis, kafirs, slandering Aisha, your sympathies are with these kafirs. How are you going to face Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah? It's not a trivial issue. This is an issue very close to the heart of Rasulullah. Your families, you might be a businessman, you might be doing whatever, many mubaraks, but when something goes wrong at home, what do you do? Run home from work. Why? Because you love your family, it's close to your heart. Wallahi lazim, Aisha is close to the heart of Rasulullah. Abu Bakr is close to the heart of Rasulullah. Abu Bakr is with Rasulullah, has been from the cave to the grave, till the day of Qiyamah, shall rise with him on the pond and then be with him beyond for eternity. If anybody is burning, let them burn all the way to hell. Rasulullah was going, Abu Bakr on the right, Umar on the left. Rasulullah put his hand on their shoulders and he said, Hakada nubathu yawm al qiyamah. This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the right, Umar on the left, together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, I have four advices, two in the heavens, two on earth. My advice is in the heavens, Jibreel Mekahi, and my right and left man on earth, Abu Bakr and Umar. They are with Rasulullah. Do what you like. They will remain with Rasulullah. They will rise with Rasulullah. They will be on the pond with Rasulullah. And then beyond for eternity. Anybody wants to burn will burn in hell for eternity. May Allah save us. May Allah guide us to the right path. Brothers, this is time fitr and fasad. Save yourselves. Save yourselves. And don't sympathize with the enemy of Allah and become an enemy of Allah. Become a soldier of Rasulullah. I'm not saying do anything silly and nasty. All I'm saying is educate yourselves. Educate yourselves. Educate your children, your sons, your daughters. And then save your imams. And inshallah, regarding this, there's a conference tomorrow. Alhamdulillah, we are thankful and grateful to all the brothers who've given us time, invited us. Special thanks to the Maulana and the committee, community here. But tomorrow, alhamdulillah, we've got a special conference in Lodium, in the CIS Masjid. Begin at Asr until Isha, inshallah. Mufti Zubair Bayat sahab will also be there, as well as other scholars, inshallah. The program will last from Asr till Isha. And we hope, inshallah, you brothers can make it. And bring other brothers with you. Bring your youngsters as well with you, inshallah. All the bayans will be in English. And inshallah, it will be iman boosting program, inshallah, experience. May Allah reward you. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانه